Time check in on a Thursday evening at 7 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Welcome along to another edition of The Score on tonight's programme. We'll hear from both the Finn Harps and Derry City camps ahead of their home ties tomorrow night, Friday, in the League of Ireland against Longford Town and St Patrick's Athletic, respectively. It's Comórtas Pellnagilta finals weekend for Dundonald. They're being hosted by the Neave Wara Club. We'll hear from their chairman shortly. The championship starts on Sunday in Cavan for the Donegal Ladies. We speak with Maxie Kern. And later, Eamon Kelly will be telling us all about his first win on the World Rally Championship. So then, we're going to start with soccer and First Division action in the SSE Air Trusty League. Finn Harps are facing into back-to-back home games this bank holiday weekend with fixtures against Longford Town tomorrow night, Friday. And then next Monday, they will also be hosting Athlone Town. Jeremy Doherty will have updates from both of those matches here on Highland in association with B&S Credit Union in Ballybuffet. Now, chasing a third win in 11 games, Harps are going into the next phase of matches unbeaten in their last three. Harps boss Dave Rogers has been telling Chris Ashmore that the group are continuing to improve and mature.
Yeah, look, we're enjoying it at the moment, Chris. It's a testament to the boys on how they've reacted, you know, after the setback away at Waterford. We always look for a response. They've been excellent. They're growing, they're maturing week by week. Like you said, we're three unbeaten now. Managed to get back-to-back wins, which has been a real boost, not just for the players and the staff, but for the fans and the whole club in general. But no easy games in this league, as I always say. And if you're not on your toes and if you're not on your guard, then you can be punished easily. So we've got our next biggest game is Longford Town, and that's the one that we're ready for, and we know we'll need to be at our best if we want to get a positive result.
Now, for the players themselves, a lot of them never knew each other until a couple of months ago, so it's all a learning process. There's a bonding there, and probably the away trips have helped in that as well. So now, you know, we've played everybody, so you're getting a good idea of what the opposition are like, and so are the players.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what you do. When you're playing teams four times throughout the season, it's really important that you gauge opposition players individually, collectively, but also as a group. And I think the lads have realised now after the first nine what they're going to be coming up against. Teams are going to get better. Don't get me wrong, you know, I think everybody sort of used the first nine games as a sort of gauge where they're at, you know, on the pitch and off the pitch. But the lads, like I said, you know, there's real endeavour and real the willingness to get better. They don't shy away from it. And I was really proud of them as well. I know I don't want to draw back to the Waterford game, but for the players, they wanted to refund the fans that came. I don't think many people know that. They wanted to refund the fans that travelled to that game because they knew they'd not just let themselves down, they'd let everybody down. And they're a good bunch. You know, they admit it when they're wrong and they face it. And that's the way we are as a collective. You know, we're in it together. We win, we lose, we draw together, and we face any challenge and any success together. So, no, credit to the boys. But like I said, two big games coming up, starting with Longford, then a quick turnaround, obviously, to Athlone Town. But for me, you know, our fans at home have been phenomenal. The weather's getting a little bit lighter. Hopefully it'll stay a little bit drier. I do appreciate it's a bank holiday weekend, but hopefully we can get another good turnout and the boys can go out and perform and show the fans how much, you know, playing for Finn Harps really means to all of us.
Now, it's one of the youngest, if not the youngest team in the league, maybe yourselves and Kerry. Now, you don't like singling out players, but you have mentioned there's a couple of youngsters who have stood out in recent weeks, including Dahi McCallion, and he's in the Northern Ireland under-19 squad, and that's partially because he's playing first-team football with Finn Harps.
Absolutely, and I think that's where we keep saying this journey that we're on, this rebuild that we're taking with Finn Harps is to give players like Dahi, you know, the opportunity, that window of opportunity, the platform to go and develop as a first-team player. He's an outstanding human being from a wonderful family. And then you look also, we look at Shane McMonagall and Kevin Jordan. Kevin's come through our academy, which is a massive plus. And Shane's come from local USL football. So there's talent out there. And I was a real big advocate of getting local players back in the door and giving them that opportunity, like I said, to go and showcase the skills raw, but learning week by week. And it's a real credit and delighted for us and myself and Murph as staff to see these boys progressing. and they know that they will get an opportunity, and when they get it, can they keep the jersey? And thankfully for the boys, over the last couple of weeks, they've managed to do that, and that's all credit to them.
Now, you've had a couple of injury worries and people out in the last few games, and the squad is small enough, but there is good competition there for places, and the players know from you, you know, they're going to have to be up to the plate to get in that team.
Absolutely, and I think if you look at the last two games, it doesn't matter for me what reputation a player has or what they might have done in the game. Or for me, if players perform, they'll keep the jersey. That's the way I've always seen it, and rightly so. It was only right that Kevin and Shane kept their place at Wexford. Unfortunately, Kevin came off with a little injury. It's not a serious one. But Shane, as you know, went on, became an overlapping centre-back, which, you know, we never told him to do that. He took that on himself. And again, that's players taking responsibility on the pitch, and we absolutely love that. But again, you know, great ball in from Shane. Unlucky deflection from their point of view, but a real good one for us because it got us 3 points. And again, clean sheets are massive for me. And I drum it home to the boys every day. If we can keep clean sheets, we know we've got enough quality in the side to go and score goals. But onwards and upwards, and we just look forward to Friday night.
Now, we don't know how long all of these guys are going to be here. Some of them may be here next year, some may be here in 2 years. It's a long time since Harps discovered a real jewel and exported them to a bigger club. And who knows, that could happen. And, you know, it would be a nice thing to happen financially for the club and for the player. It's amazing when you look down through the years how few players from Finn Harps have actually gone to big clubs cross-channel or even within the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing myself and the board really touched on, especially when we were in early discussions, is because if other clubs can create assets, why can Finn Harps not? The talent in Donegal is phenomenal. We all know that. But the big thing for us was that we've got a thriving academy. Kevin McHugh and all the academy staff have done phenomenal work. And for me, coming in with my staff now, it's amalgamating it together, showing it that we're one club and we're working hard behind the scenes, you know, to keep developing these players, to keep giving them a platform to play. And you're absolutely right, Chris. You know, Finn Harps Football Club should be able to develop its players, create assets. And if any of the bigger teams do come knocking on the door, then we're in a position then to say, well, okay, we've nurtured this player, we've developed this player, they've come through our system. And we're in a position now to demand that, you know, a sort of fee that other clubs are demanding. So, yeah, that's another sort of challenge that we're looking at, and one that I do feel in the future we can definitely put ourselves in a good position.
I mean, we look at Evan Ferguson, and I think he was 16 when he played for Bowes. I think it was a pre-season friendly against Chelsea. Look where he is now. And, you know, people like him, that's an example even to your players.
Yeah, and again, with Evan Ferguson, he was actually at St Kevin's Boys, you know, who have got a great reputation in Dublin for bringing through players. They have the link-up, obviously, with Bohemians. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, if Derry City, Rovers, Dundalk, Bowes can all get these young talents and get them through the system, and you know, if they go on to bigger and better things, then we at Finn Harps should be able to do that as well. So that, you know, we are putting foundations in place. Obviously, we want to break these players through and play them into our first team. That's the main goal. But then what happens after that is down to the players, down to how they perform. And again, it's down to us as a collective, like I said, of giving them that environment and the platform to go and showcase the talents.
And finally, Dave, the standard in the First Division, sometimes people are a little bit dismissive of it, and when a team goes down, they may shy away from attending games. But you've been impressed by what you've seen, and that augurs well for the future.
It does. I've been really impressed with it, Chris. I'm not going to lie. I've seen it over the years, obviously. Seen the First Division when it didn't have a really good reputation, obviously facilities-wise and quality-wise. But I'm pleasantly surprised with how much quality there is in this division this year. Every team is capable of beating anybody on its day. There's real good structure within the teams. There's a lot of good, you know, quick, you know, talented, energetic players. And again, there's a lot of young lads, you know, backed up by the odd one or two experienced players who might have dropped down from the Premier Division to give it that added quality and extra sort of energy. But no, absolutely, it's a real tough league. It's a league that's thriving, I think, this season. And again, it's a league that if you're not on your toes and you're not prepared, then you can come and stuck. And it's mine and Murph's job to make sure that our players, when we approach every game, that we're ready and prepared to face the challenge head on.
And the crowds so far have been actually bigger than last year, and all around the First Division the crowds have been very good. So, you know, the public like what they see.
Yeah, and I think that tells you the product on the pitch has got better. Fans wouldn't come and watch football if they weren't enjoying it. That's my opinion, Chris, you know, but again, if they're getting a good match day experience, which they seem to be, and they're getting that little bit of quality, even for us, I think the big plus for me is the bond that our players and staff have now with the fans. That was really important because we've got a real magnificent fan base and we just want to give them a team and a group to be proud of, a team and a group that will play for the badge and show the fans that they'll run through a brick wall for this football club.
There you go. That's Dave Rogers, Fun Harps manager, speaking to Chris Ashmore ahead of the game on Friday night. Doubleheader, of course, coming up this weekend, both at home. Longford tomorrow night, and then they've got Athlone on Monday. We'll have live updates from both those matches here on Highland. It's a similar situation in the Premier Division for Derry City. They have two huge home games against Dublin opposition on Friday and Monday, with St Pat's and champion Shamrock Rovers coming to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. The Candy Stripes got back to winning ways last weekend, taking their first victory in four matches at Turner's Cross. That one against Cork City moved Derry back into second in the standings. Remelton man Ronan Boyce, who scored last week, has been telling Kevin McLaughlin the group are now looking forward to improving on their home form after recent slip-ups against Drogheda and Leaders Bohemians.
These are the games you want to be playing in front of a packed house in Brandywell against Pats. Like, they're a big team in Ireland as well, so we know it's going to be a tough game, and now we're all looking forward to it.
Tough game earlier in the season down there, first game of the season. It was tight. They obviously got a late equaliser. So you know what they're about. Chris Forrester, Owen Doyle, they've got enough talented players in their side.
Ah, exactly. Like, they've a lot of individual ability players, like, so we know ourselves if we're not at it, they can turn us over. So we just need to get our heads right and put on a good performance in front of our home fans. Like,
from your point of view, you picked up a wee knock in pre-season and just getting in. It's just trying to now build up the minutes and get in, stay in the starting 11.
Ah, exactly. Try and just keep trying to play well and give the manager no option but to keep me in the team. Like, that's what I'm trying to focus on, and trying to help the team as best I can, and hopefully I can add something to the team. And you know yourself, like, it's, if you're not doing the business, like, you'll not be playing. So just trying to keep playing well and keeping the starting 11.
And the Brandywell, I expect it'll be rocking in both games, and it's probably the wee bit of the Achilles heel you've had this year has been the home form, where you just haven't hit the high notes as what you have possibly in the way for them.
Ah, exactly. We know ourselves that the last two games at home with Drogheda and Bowes, they weren't good enough. So now we'll be out in Friday night trying to put that right, and hopefully we can do that.
Cork gives you that boost, you know, getting the victory and just trying to build it on. And as I said, because it's two big games, testy games, it's perfect for the players to be just, we don't need any motivation, just come in there.
Ah, exactly. We know what's at stake. Like, we know everyone in Changeham knows how big a club Derry is and the people we're representing. So nah, We've no worries about that. It's just about us, ourselves now, and just doing ourselves justice. We've put in a good performance at home. Like, I think we owe it to ourselves as well, you know, to get a good one at home, and hopefully we can do it on Friday.
And getting a wee clean sheet as a defender, that's a biggie. You know yourself, even off attacking threat, okay, goals might not have been coming, but if you keep a clean sheet, you have enough on the other end that you want it.
Aye, definitely. I think our clean sheet record or defensive record has been good throughout the season. I think we're second or first with less goals conceded, so we just need to keep that going. And I've no doubt if we keep a clean sheet, well, we have players there that can score. You know, attacking players, they're always the quality, so we know if we do our job, we have a chance.
And you can sort of see that not getting a clean sheet in Cork, you've seen Brian Maher and yourself, you weren't happy that
I know, fuming, because clean sheets are massive. Like, you want to keep them as defenders, and they mean a lot. Like, a clean sheet would be more to me than a goal, so it would. So we just need to keep trying to build on it and keep trying to keep, because if the game's 2-1 and they score, you know, it's a different game. So that's, clean sheets are massive. Yeah,
so there you go. Remelton man Ronan Boyce continuing to play well for Derry City. Derry, of course, against St Pat's tomorrow night at the Brandywell Stadium. And there's five fixtures in the top flight also tomorrow night as well. It's Sligo Rovers on the road. They're going to play the champion Shamrock Rovers at the Tallaght Stadium. UCD host the leaders Bohemians. Dundalk up against Drogheda in a big derby. And Shelburne are taking on Cork City. Now to other football matters. Coghill Celtic's Lee McColgan has been included on the Republic of Ireland amateur squad for an international friendly against the Basque region ahead of this summer's Regions Cup. Ireland will be using the game as preparations for the competition in June, which take place in Galicia in Spain. The fixture, the friendly against the Basque region, is taking place next Tuesday, the 2nd of May. Lee, of course, has been a regular on the Irish amateur side in recent years. And it's a big weekend for Coghill Celtic as they take on Bunagee United. McColgan will be lining out for his club on Saturday afternoon at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Ground in what could possibly be a title decider from a Bunagee point of view, because a win or a draw for Bunagee at Coghill and they would be crowned champions of the Ulster Senior League for the very first time in their history. For Coghill to defend the title and win a 10th consecutive USL League crown, they have to win on Sunday against Bunagee and then win the remaining two games to be crowned champions. But the league could be done and dusted if Bunagee are to pull it off at the weekend. Chris Ashmore will be reporting for Highland Radio Sport from that tie on Sunday afternoon. There is, of course, a programme of games at junior level across the northwest in Donegal and in Inishowen this weekend. And I suppose the big matches on Saturday are in Division 2 of the Donegal Junior League. Still all to play for in the final games. St. Catharines are the leaders, and a win for the Killybeg side and they will take the title. Fintown Harps, for them to win the title, they need to beat St. Catharines to lose, rather, and for them to take victory in their tie against Kilmacrenan Celtic. That would mean Fintown Harps would be champions. Kilmacrenan are still in there as well. They need to beat Fintown Harps and hope St. Catharines lose in their match against Cranford if they are to take the title. Among the games taking place on Sunday, there's a promotion relegation playoff in Ballyar with Gweedore United taking on Kerry Keel 71. If Kerry Keel were to win, they would stay in Division 1. If Gweedore won, they will be promoted. The Ulster Junior Cup final is an all-Inishowen affair on Saturday evening at McGinn Park in Buncrana. Aya are taking on Buncrana Hearts. Kick-off time to that tie is at 5 o'clock. And just before we go for a commercial break, there's also another big game taking place on a Saturday afternoon. It's the Interleague Cup semi-final for the under-13s. Johnny McGroarty's Donegal underage league side are making the trip to Eamon Deasy Park in Galway to play the Galway League, with the winner going through to the national final on the weekend of the 20th and the 21st of May to play the winners of the Mayo Cork side. So a big game for the Donegal under-13s in Galway on Saturday. Starts at 2:30 and we wish them the very best of luck with that one. So time for a break. We'll be back with more after these.
Gear your club up for the season with a great range of footballs and training equipment from names like O'Neill's, Murphy's, Precision and Mitre at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of sport on Highland Radio. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. 28 minutes past 7. We move to Gaelic Games. The Donegal Senior Ladies start their Ulster Championship campaign on Sunday against Cavan. A win at Breffni Park would more or less give them a place in the provincial final and would also give them a favourable group in the All-Ireland Series. The league ended in disappointment with relegation to Division 2, but Donegal boss Maxie Curran says a victory this weekend would give the group a huge lift for the summer.
You know, we always knew the league was going to be a difficult operation for us. You know, with the squad we're working with and the level of an experience we had, and you know, even within the experienced girls that we did have on board, you know, there was a number of them injured, and you know, and even Glam was always going to miss the first five or six rounds, and you know, even though she was knocking about, she was never playing, and then Amy Boyd Carey gets concussed in the middle of the league and you lose her for three or four rounds, and you know, we just kind of, everything that kind of could go wrong did go wrong for us. But look, we were in some of the games we definitely acquitted ourselves very well, and had we had you know, a bit of luck on a number of occasions, you know, the whole thing could have worked out differently. But look, once the dust settles and in the cold light of day, I think, you know, with the direction that Donegal and that Donegal team are going with the you know, the departures they've had in the last couple of months and the ones that are going to come in the next few months, you know, it's probably Division 2 is a good place for them to start the rebuild. You know, if they were going out in I think they'll find their level well in Division 2 next year with the younger girls that's going to be left. So with all that in mind, you know, the we managed to get an awful lot of players in the field during the league and get a lot of football for a lot of younger girls. And I think that'll stand to them, you know, come championship. And you know, championship is always your focus. Like, nobody wants to get relegated. And but look, it is what it is. And you know, as I often say, once everybody gives everything they have, there's nothing more to give. And that's what they did in the league. So you know, you take a bit of honour from that as well. And it's a little stand to us coming into the Cavan game on Sunday.
Yeah, obviously missing a number of experienced players. Have you managed to coach any of them back yet, Maxi?
No. We'll have one or two, all right. But you know, all the usual big names that's been bandied about. You know, there'll not be many of them. But as I say, it's not something that's come as a surprise to us. You know, it's not something we didn't know. There weren't sudden departures, and you know, this group have given so much over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, we when there was some of them interested in staying on and prepared to give it a go, you know, we felt that management level we had to back them for all the time that they'd given us. So you know, we knew it was always going to be difficult. And you know, there's many a conversation has happened, and I'm sure there'll be more. But look, that is what it is. And you know, we're going to a game with Cavan on Sunday. They're a Division 2 team. They're very much at our level, and it's a game that's very winnable for us. And you know, that'll more than likely put you into an Ulster final. And you know, from there, anything can happen. And you know, I think it was your esteemed colleague Maureen pointed out that we've often been into the championship on the back of leagues with, you know, with hopes high, and we've fallen flat on our face, and she says maybe it'll work the other way this time. So maybe she's right.
Yeah, well, listen, you could get a bounce, you could, Maxi, off the back of a win at the weekend against Cavan. It would, I suppose, rejuvenate the whole thing, so it would.
Yeah, it would. Look, to be fair to the girls, you know, I think when you put your expectations, you know, at the correct level, at the level they should be at, and you know, when you know what you're dealing with, you know, each game brings, you know, it takes on a life of its own. And you know, when you take out of it what you have to take out of it, and you know, our expectations were never overly lofty, I know, at any stage. You know, we knew we could compete with everybody, and you know, we knew, you know, we should be that far away. And that was the case a lot of it is like Galway in the first day out was, you know, it was very close. The Meath game in the second game was very close. You know, had it not been for that, you know, the fortuitous goal that Meath got and off the crossbar, you know, I think that's the game we probably could have won. So look, you know, when you know what you're dealing with and you frame it in the right way, and you know, you set your targets and you know, your objectives in these games, you know, which for us was largely developmental, and getting as much football for people as we can, and trying to unearth a couple of players and trying to, you know, get them closer to the level that they're going to be at during the summer. You know, it's not a case of looking at the nature of the Mayo defeat was definitely cruel. You know, the first half was just a calamity, and you know, that probably took a wee bit of getting over, because we felt that was a game we definitely had a real chance of winning. And look, we would have played Mayo subsequent and challenge games since that, and been a much tighter affair than what it turned out that in Letterkenny. So look, the nature of the defeat that day was tough, because we were so much the architects of our own downfall that day, and you know, and having to face up to that and take that on the chin is never easy. But look, that's what you have to do. And the girls know that, you know, at the outset of the year we were the Division 1 team, and Cavan and Armagh were Division 2 teams. So you know, it's still a competition that's very winnable for us. You know, you're all Ireland. Aspirations are probably slightly different, but you know, we don't hold any fear of these teams. And Cavan will be coming to this one, you know, really buoyed with the fact that, you know, we don't probably both the same team sheet as we had this time last year. And look, we've had many good battles with Cavan and Chelsea Sammy the last couple of years, and they've given us all we want. And I think they'll definitely see this as a great opportunity for them as we head for Breffni on Sunday.
Yeah, just you mentioned the All-Ireland Series finally, Maxi. If you do get a win on Sunday, it will benefit you come the All-Ireland Series, which would mean that you would, I suppose, avoid certain big teams and certain groups. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. If you'd be lucky enough to get over the line on Sunday, you know, no matter how the rest of the competition pans out, you know, it would leave you in a group with maybe the likes of Laois and Galway or Mayo, which, you know, Laois again, you know, just up from intermediate and playing the football division 2 again, would be a team we feel that, you know, at the level that we're operating at. So look, you know, with that in mind, but Sunday's a big game for us. The prize for winning Sunday is huge. But look, we've been in this situation before, going into the Mayo games, the Dublin games. The prize for winning those, you were saying in Division 1, the prize is huge and it didn't work out. So look, that doesn't bring us any guarantees. But look, it does mean that the girls go into the game, you know, knowing that the thing is still very much in their own hands. And, you know, the destiny for the summer and the trajectory after Sunday is usually in their own hands. And, you know, I think if it could happen to come out of Breffni with the 3 points on Sunday, it would really give us a huge lift going into the rest of the summer.
And hopefully the girls from Donegal can get that one and get those points at Breffni on Sunday. We'll have updates with Damien Donoghue from that game. Also this weekend in the Ulster Intermediate Championship, our Tyrone are playing Monaghan in the ladies. While on the men's front, at semi-finals Saturday and Sunday, Rory Gallagher's Derry are taking on Monaghan. 5 o'clock at Healy Park in Omagh as the reigning Ulster champions look to make it back to a final. And the conquerors of Donegal Down are back in action on Sunday at Clonus, 4 o'clock start as they play Armagh. Four sides battling for the two places in the Ulster final. And of course, it's all important as well in relation to seeds for the All-Ireland Series, where you finish up in your provincial competition. There's a number of crucial underage minor games taking place as well. Donegal are playing Derry in the men's minor football championship, 12 o'clock in Balbuffet. These two sides would be seen as the top two in the five-team Group B, while Tyrone are taking on Antrim at Healy Park in Omagh at 3 o'clock. And there's a doubleheader in Balbuffet on Saturday. The men minor is at 12 noon, and then at 2 o'clock we've got the ladies minor championship with Donegal also playing Derry as well. Not forgetting about the hurlers, they're back in action on Sunday at Dr. Hyde Park against Roscommon. Mickey McCann's side looking to make it 3 wins from 3 matches. They're 2 from 2 already, and they're going well in the Nicky Racker. This is the last of their away matches in the group. They'll be finishing things up with home ties against Louth and Wicklow in the coming weeks. But Donegal looking to win on the road once again on a Sunday. Wally Hegarty will have updates from that tie, which is actually taking place in Athleague, not in Dr. Hyde Park on Sunday afternoon. There's also Christy Ring action involved in the North West Counties at the weekend. Tyrone are playing Sligo on a Sunday at 2 o'clock, and on Saturday at 2, Derry are taking on Meath. Now, back to football. The Cabortas Pell McGilt at the county finals are taking place this weekend at the Banks, hosted by the Neave Warra Lower Rosses Club. This weekend's competition will be a rehearsal for the All-Irelands, which the club will also host over the June Bank holiday weekend. The Murrah chairman is John Colum Gillespie, and he's been telling me how preparations have been going ahead of the weekend.
I suppose, Oisin, we've had a busy week of it, I suppose, getting everything ready for the weekend. You know, it's going to be a big weekend for us. Hopefully the weather's going to stay dry for it, Oisin, you know. But a lot of preparations going on, trying to get the stand finished and trying to get everything else into place for it, you know.
Yeah, because this is a big undertaking by the club. It's not just about the Donegal finals. You're going to host the All-Ireland finals on the bank holiday weekend in June as well. So this is sort of like a rehearsal for what's coming ahead, is it?
Well, more or less, you know, it gives us a chance to get everything into place and see how everything's going to work for us, from parking to, I suppose, from tickets and entrance into the clubhouse and everything else. You know, it gives us a chance to, kind of, as you said yourself, to do a rehearsal on it all, you know.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of men and a lot of people within the club and women as well. They're putting the shoulder to the wheel because it's a big undertaking.
Oh, listen, hey, see the last two or three nights at the clubhouse, like there's been such a buzz, not alone just of young ones and everybody else training as they do every other night, but the amount of mothers and fathers and everything that, you know, have put their shoulder to the wheel in the last couple of nights to come in and cleaning around the place and getting the whole place ready, you know, it's been great to see it, like, you know, and a great help for us, like, you know.
Yeah, so you might give us an idea maybe of the schedule, what to look forward to the weekend, John.
Friday evening we start with the under-15s boys county Gaeltacht final, and then we go on then to later on, I think at 8:30 we have the Amy Doohan under-16s girls county final, and I think that competition is getting retired this year, so it's Kilcare and Termon that are playing off on that. So I suppose Kilcare will be coming probably looking to hold on to their cup there, you know. And then On Saturday, we've got the four men's semi-finals, as the ladies have played off their semi-finals. So that's the four semi-finals on Saturday. And then we've a rest on Sunday, and then going for the four finals, then again, the two ladies and the two men's finals, then on Monday.
Obviously, there's a break in the middle of it. Maybe could you give us an idea of why you decided to take a break on the Sunday and play them Saturday and Monday?
Well, that came about, I suppose, from with Donegal playing down last week, and if we had been down last week, Donegal would have been back out on Sunday, you know, against Armagh. So we kind of didn't know what to kind of do there, and then I suppose certain media outlets then kind of said to us, listen, is there any chance that you could do a decision on that so that we can be prepared for it, you know? So we kind of took the decision then that we would split it, go the Saturday and the Monday for that, you know.
Yeah. When it comes round to
that, that's kind of where that came about.
Yeah, when it comes round to the All-Ireland weekend, I suppose, in June, do you have to factor in maybe what's happening around the rest of the country as well, do you?
Not really, no, I don't think so, because it's kind of that date's kind of set in the calendar all the time, you know. The county finals kind of seem to change. You know, I know ourselves in Galway are the only two counties that are playing off the county finals this weekend, where the likes of Cork and Kerry and Mayo and them places have played it off earlier on in the year, you know. So when it comes to the All-Ireland, that's kind of, it's kind of set, and most kind of GA authorities and stuff know that that's coming off, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose so. There's a big incentive for it as well, John, particularly for the Donegal teams now that are involved this weekend, that if they can win their competitions outright, that there's a place in an All-Ireland competition and they don't have to go the full length of the country to take part in it.
Well, that's it. There's a big incentive to the teams in the county or the clubs in the county to push hard for it. Like, you know, there's no big travel to be done, you know, this year. It's the All-Irelands in the county are in the county itself here in the Banks, you know. So it's a big incentive for them, you know, that they won a county medal, I suppose, or a county trophy this weekend and push hard then for an All-Ireland medal and trophy, you know, in 4 or 5 weeks' time, you know.
Yeah. Just finally then, do you see it within the clubs who are involved in the competition that they still hold this and they still rate this competition very, very highly, and it's something that they want to win?
Oh, hey, yeah, like all competitions, I suppose every club wants to, or every team wants to win whatever's put in offer, you know. But, the competition is still held in high regard, you know, and I suppose that's down to, I suppose, a few men, I suppose, that and women as well, that have kept the competition alive in the county, the likes of Charlie O'Donnell and Paddy Bug McIlasbuck and Josie Doohan, and there's, you know, a few others there, you know, that have kept the competition going all the time. But yeah, for clubs, like, there's still a big hunger there for winning the Gaeltacht competition, you know.
I suppose the fact as well that it gets national television coverage through TG Cahir, it helps to showcase the area too, John.
Oh, it's great for showcasing the area, you know, because TG Cahir will stream most of the games all weekend on the All-Ireland weekend, and then from the Sunday evening with the semi-finals, they'll go out live, you know, on the All-Ireland weekend especially, you know.
Yeah, all we can do is wish you the best of luck this coming weekend. Hopefully you get the weather for it, and you have a successful Gaeltacht Finals weekend down at the Banks.
Thanks very much, Ashley.
Good man indeed, John Colin Gillespie, chairman of the Neave World Club. They're hosting at the Comórtas Pelna Gaeltacht here. Connell, finals this weekend. Two games tomorrow night. Junior B ladies final at 8:30. Kilcarrigan's Termin, and the under 15 final will be before that with Dunloe playing Gweedore. The men's senior semi finals are St Michael's against Gweedore at 2 on Saturday. Neave Connell play Termin at 5:30. And the junior men's semi finals at 12 noon. Narossa against Gweedore. And at 4, Neave Wirra play Glenswally. It's final days then on Bank Holiday Monday. We have to wait to see who's going to be progressing through to the junior and the men deciders. But the junior ladies final will be contested between Dunloe and St Noel's, and Termin and Glenfin are featuring in the ladies' senior final. Now to motorsport. In just their second event on the Junior World Rally Championship, Donegal driver and Monaghan co-driver Conor Mahon took their maiden Junior World Rally Championship victory last weekend's Croatia Rally. It was an emotional weekend for Irish rallying as the WRC remembered Craig Breen. Eamon Kelly and Mahon jumped from third to first in one swoop during the final loop to take the Fiesta to victory by 30.8 seconds. There is three more events in the junior rounds, while the crew will also take part in Portugal and Finland in a rally to Hyundai. It's an exciting year ahead. Eamon has been telling me that they want to make the most of the opportunities this year.
Yeah, a tremendous result. It's to get a win in the World Championship is something that I probably could never have dreamed of. And yeah, it's just took a while to sink in. But yeah, just pure class. You know, they don't come easy. I know I've only done two rounds, but they you just know by the nature of them that there's so much effort and so much that has to go right for you to get a win. And look, it was just an amazing feeling to get it and have that on the CV as such. It's like I said, it's stuff of dreams, but we've put in a massive effort into everything this year and just done everything that we can do to get results and to have it pay off. And you have to have a bit of luck on your side too, which we did, but you know, everyone gets good and bad days in that sense. And it was a good day for us. So yeah, like I said, that's probably what I meant too when I said there was someone looking down on us that day as well. We got our bit of luck, but it paid off. And yeah, it's just been amazing.
Yeah, it was an emotional weekend. We've seen the way the WRC paid tribute to Craig Brennan. Obviously, as an Irishman, you knew Craig, and it was a difficult week for motorsport, but it just shows the way the pendulum sort of swings, doesn't it, Eamon, that there's sadness and emotion and then the joy at the end of the week. So it was, we would see it as an important one for Irish motorsport too with everything that went on.
Yeah. Look, it was such an emotional week. You know, when we got the news, it was, you know, yourself, it's just one of them things. Very hard to digest and very hard to make it seem real. We weren't even sure if the Irish competitors would go and do the event. So, you know, when we were over there, you know, fair play to the WRC, they made a massive effort to make tribute and even Hyundai Motorsport as well. And did a lovely ceremony on the Thursday and, you know, that was very emotional as well. And for everybody, not just the Irish, you know, you can tell the whole motorsport community across the world felt the same pain. But yeah, while we were over there too, it was lovely to have all of the Irish there as well, both competitors and fans watching from the side. You know, it was, you really felt the sense of community. And, you know, it really helped the drivers, I think, get through the whole thing as well. But like I said, it was to an extent written in the stars to have at least someone from Ireland win. And you know, it was just a small bit of positivity after obviously a massively tragic event. And yeah, I'm just happy that it swung that way in the end.
Yeah, and I suppose in the sport of rallying as well, it shows in these long WRC events that you have to hang in there, that you have to be on your game the full weekend. There's no opportunity for lapsing, so there's not, Eamon, because you don't know when that opportunity to hit the front is going to appear. And that was very much the case for you late in the Sunday, so it was.
Yeah, definitely. There's such a long weekend, like the whole way from, it's a long week in general from Tuesday right up until Sunday. Like when you start recce, you're probably running off about 4 to 5 hours sleep a night if you're lucky. And you know, by the time you start the rally, you're already pretty fatigued. That's obviously where your fitness comes in. But yeah, come the Sunday, you can imagine how drained you are. So you have to be, you know, maximum concentration, and mistakes can happen so easily. The nature of the stages out in Croatia were just so tricky. Like you had everything from, you know, maybe 4 to 5 different types of tarmac. You'd concrete, you'd kind of gravel and muck that was bedded in despite the fact it was 20 degrees. So tire choice was another thing, because you'd bone dry stages and then you'd stages that were half wet and mucky. So it was crazy. So it was so easy to make a mistake. We knew coming into the event that it was going to be like that. So we just made a plan and said, look, if we drive maturely and if we try to keep a good steady pace, don't get left behind, but don't overcook things. You know, you just never know where we'll be come Sunday. And look, we stuck to it. And there was plenty of opportunities throughout the weekend that presented themselves, you know, for like with people having drama ahead of us, it would have meant that, oh, you know, if we push now, we might be able to make a few places. But we always stuck to the plan and we never got ahead of ourselves. And look, it obviously really, really paid off in the end. And just shows that, yeah, if you have a plan, you stick to it, it might just work out.
Yeah. Well, you must be having an absolute ball in this year where you're rallying at the moment, because you've now taken your first junior WRC victory. And all of a sudden, you're going to hop into a car, a Hyundai R2 car, which has come via what you won last year. It's going to be in WRC Portugal. So it's a bit like Christmas all over again for you. So it is, Eamon. These weekends are coming thick and fast. So they are, and there's huge opportunities here.
Yeah, yeah. And Portugal, it's not even, it's actually, that was, so the prize that we won last year was with from the BRC, and that's actually Finland in August. But I was very, very lucky and fortunate to be given the opportunity from the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy to do WRC Portugal in their Hyundai, which was news that I only received recently. But yeah, what an opportunity. I mean, to go out to a WRC rally and compete, let alone in a top car, it's absolutely surreal. And I can't thank them enough for the opportunity they've given me, and they've been given these opportunities to other drivers as well. And I'd say we're probably the only country in the world that gives young drivers these opportunities. It really is phenomenal what they're doing, because anytime I've been out at the world events so far, other competitors have asked me, you know, what is that academy all about? And when you say to them, they say, well, look, I really wish our country, because it just doesn't exist on the same level that we have it. And yeah, I'm just very fortunate to be part of it and to get the opportunity to now go to Portugal, learn the event, learn a Rally 2 car. It's just mental. And, you know, especially if I'm obviously committing to a 2-year plan in the juniors, and Portugal is often in the junior calendar, and it could be next year. So if I can go next year and potentially have the event done, it's a massive advantage. So yeah, it's just hats off to the academy and everything they're doing. It's unbelievable.
You name drop Finland there, so you did at the start. That's coming up later in the year. That's the big one in WRC terms. What would you compete in Finland in?
Yeah, so in the British Rally Championship last year, we won the juniors, and the prize was a WRC 2 event in a Hyundai. So yeah, I chose Finland because it's an iconic event and one that I was eager to go and do, and it fitted into the calendar nicely. So yeah, that'll be in the same Hyundai Rally 2, right, run by PCRS. But again, surreal, but that'll be a mega experience, and to race on such an iconic event at this age is mental. So yeah, really looking forward to that as well.
And how many more rounds of the junior are you going to do? Because you've already been in the snow, isn't that right, in Sweden? And you won in Croatia. So what other junior events are you going to partake in this year?
Yeah, so we've 3 more rounds of the junior championship. 2 weeks after Portugal, we'll head to Sardinia in Italy. And that'll be quite tough because you'll be dealing with high heat in the summer, and some of the stages out there, they reach up to 50 kilometres long. So it's just going to be pure endurance and a pure challenge. Then we head to Estonia in kind of middle of July. Like, that's meant to be, again, really tough, really, really fast. And then the last round of the championship is in Greece in September. And again, another fairly endurance style event. But again, it's all going to be just savage learning, and just, yeah, grateful to be there and grateful to have the opportunity to do them.
Yeah, hugely exciting for you. Listen, it's going to be a brilliant year. In any way, are you going to be able to fit the Donegal International Rally in, Eamon?
I've been trying so hard because it's one of them ones. It still probably means the most to me. It's unreal to be sitting at the start line here, home rally. And we experienced that last year and made a bit of bad luck, but we'd love to have come back this year. One thing I have found with the World Rallies is that, you know, for the guys who've done the stages before, they have such a big advantage because the stages, they don't change that much every year in all the World Rallies. So, you know, there's events on around a similar time to Donegal that could potentially be in the calendar next year. And we have to try and take that into consideration, as it's just a 2-year plan. And you know, we want to try and exert absolutely everything out of it and leave nothing behind. So we'll see. But yeah, for now, it looks like it's going to swing that way. But I've tried everything to make Donegal possible. And look, who knows still. But yeah, it's it might have to wait a year. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless, whenever it is.
Yeah. Just finally, we haven't mentioned him the entire interview. Is Connor, your co-driver, really, really steady guy beside you?
Oh, yeah, look, here, to be honest, I'd say his job is harder than mine. Kills me to say it, but it's true. So the work, and when you get taken up to this level, the work that he has to put in is mental. Like, there's just so, so many things he has to make sure go right from his side that that are just vital. And, you know, as he'd say, calling the pace notes is genuinely, it's the easiest part. Like, there's just so many things to organize and think about. And, you know, his work never stops. And but he took it all in his stride, and he hit everything so to a T. And I never had to question anything. It was done for me. So yeah, it's hats off to him for a man who stepped into this World Rally Championship for the first time with no experience beforehand. He's really taken it all in his stride. So, yeah, it's a credit to him.
Well, listen, things are going good for you guys at the minute, and we wish you continued success, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again real soon. Eamon Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Oisin.
There you go. One to watch, Eamon Kelly. He's had a good start to the Junior World Rally Championship, and some big ones ahead for him. On to rugby. As we enter the closing stages of the programme, a number of North West players have been selected on the Ulster Rugby Junior side for the first game of the Interprovincial Series away to Leinster this coming Saturday. The Ulster Juniors are a senior men's team selected from the best players from Championship 1, 2 and 3. Adam Britton is the sole Letterkenny representative on the squad, and City of Derry have two players named, with vice-captain Stephen Corr in the starting 15 and David Graham among the match day cover. While in hockey, Raphoe are returning to the Ulster Premier Division, having sealed promotion on Wednesday evening. The 3-0 win over Portrush at the Foyle Arena in Derry on Wednesday gave them the Ulster Intermediate League title and elevated the club back to the top flight of the province. Two goals from Matthew Leckie and one from Johnny Long made sure that Raphoe took the title and remain unbeaten this season. It truly has been a successful season for the Donegal club, who of course also lifted the London Cup in the month of March. And that is just about it from the sports desk for today. We will of course be back with more for you tomorrow morning. Chris Ashmore has our next bulletin.